Deco Retro program here on Planet FM. We will bring you interesting interviews, updates of future deco, modern, retro, and other related events. Also the stories that celebrate New Zealand's history and its people, as well as book reviews and other snippets capturing the glamour and fascination of a bygone era.
Deco Retro. Deco Retro.
This is Nancy on the Deco Retro program. Wonderful Wool, our super material, is at a crossroads. Adapt or disappear. Once a stalwart of our economy, the wool sector faces some tough decisions to ensure its survival. For those lanolin-soaked old shearers who remember the glory days of the New Zealand wool industry, the collapse of our strong wonder fibre is something of a disaster. For many modern economists, the writing is on the wall, and it's time to face reality and produce something the world wants. Unfortunately, what the world has wanted has been cheap, petroleum-based synthetics, but that may be starting to change, at least for eco-conscious consumers, as public awareness grows of the environmental scourge of plastic microfibers, and people are driven backwards towards wool, the super material. At its peak in the 1950s, almost half of the country's export earnings were generated by wool. But by 2019, that proportion had dropped to approximately 1%. Last shearing season, some farmers were barely getting a dollar a kilo for our traditional strong wool, not nearly enough to cover the cost of taking it off the sheep. Whether observers think our homegrown wonder fibre is on the cusp of a collapse or a renaissance depends on perspective. But it is evident that wool holds a special place in Kiwis' hearts and nobody wants to see it disappear. Today I'm talking to Denise Gore in Napier, who has a love story with this wonderful fibre. She puts it to use knitting fashionable garments, of which there is a great demand, particularly with Art Deco enthusiasts. Good afternoon, Denise.
Good afternoon to you too.
Now, why this great interest and love of knitting? Was it Did your mother knit, or, you know, how come you've got this tremendous interest in it?
Well, yeah, my mother did, well, does, still does, and my nana did too. And I imagine my mother taught me, but it was so long ago that I don't actually remember.
Right.
And back in the 1980s, when I was young, every woman practically knitted. It was rare to find a woman who couldn't knit at all. So
I'm one of those.
We all did. Okay.
I can't knit. Never mind.
Wow. There's more of that around now than there used to be back then. But back in the 80s, knitting in New Zealand was huge.
Of course,
It was big on the world stage. It was big in fashion. We, just about everybody did it. And there were workshops everywhere. It was a really big thing in New Zealand back then.
Well, it was sort of part of life for the Kiwi housewife, wasn't it? Along with the bottling thing and knitting and crocheting and all
sewing,
that type of thing.
Yeah.
Sewing. And we sort of had to do it, I suppose, because there wasn't, you know, the cheap garments that there are out there today, you know, to buy for children or for yourself.
Well, that's exactly it. We didn't import things. The wool industry was subsidised and there were tariffs. to protect it. So, yeah, we all did have to make things ourselves. And then, of course, you had things like the Depression.
Yes.
And World War Two, where you didn't have money, and whatever you had to make it last, or you had to make it yourself, and you had to repair it.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think we're actually looking at going back that way at the moment with the way things are going in the world, politically and sustainability.
Yes.
And financially, COVID, I think, is going to have a huge knock-on effect.
I agree.
On our fashion industry.
Yes, exactly. And it would be great if wool did see a revival, wouldn't it? I mean, it's a marvellous product, I think.
It is happening. Cavalier Brenworth
made
their last synthetic carpet.
Right.
They are going back to wool carpet.
All wool.
There is a demand for it.
Yes.
And even the old Axminster carpet that some people snigger at because it's rather bold.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, me too. I've actually got my feet on it right now. My flat.
Good on you.
But it's sustainable, it's long-wearing, and it's actually highly desirable. It's almost like a collectible now.
So and it breathes too, doesn't it? You know, when you're wearing it, it breathes, not like these synthetic.
It does. It's fire-resistant, it's waterproof. I was out biking yesterday, and the only part of me that wasn't covered by wool or my bike jacket was my thighs, and I got caught in the rain.
Yeah.
The part of me that got wet was my thighs. Because I had leg warmers on, I had a beanie, I had mittens.
Yes.
Wool will take about 30% of its own weight before you will actually start to feel damp at all.
Oh, really? It just sort of swells up? And...
Oh, it's a complete wonder product. And, you know, I think it's a pity more people don't realise how awesome New Zealand wool is. They say it's itchy and it's expensive. Well, no, it's not. It's quite affordable, and it's most of it's not itchy at all, and it's not hard to care for.
No, who's sort of like New Zealand wool? Are there plenty of people out there sort of bringing it to you, you know, from the sheep? I don't know what you would call them, like... The wool industry.
I'm sort of quite lucky. Living in Napier, I'm a 15-minute bike ride from two wool shops.
Oh,
and
okay.
One of them is Skeins, which is a wool mill where they process the wool product into knitting yarn.
Right.
And they have a factory shop as well as an online store, which is quite well known in New Zealand, and they do also send it overseas. So, yeah, I'm actually really, really lucky where I live. And also you can look on Trade Me. You have people who make and sell, and also people de-stashing yarn. So, you know, wool in New Zealand is quite affordable. There are luxury ones if you really want to spend more, but... You know, basically for knitting, I can make myself a jumper for $20.
Wow. Well, that's cheaper than all these synthetic.
And that will last me the rest of my life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, exactly. Yes, and careful washing and that, and it's wonderful. I agree with you. So, because, like, once the sheep are shorn, then these people, it's sent to where the... these people that you just mentioned before to be spun and dyed and all that sort of thing?
Sort of, yeah, they do that there, but I think I'm not really huge on the whole process.
And no.
I mean, wool scours, that's what I was trying to think
of. Of course, okay.
Where they clean all the grotty bits out of it and the oil out of it, that, and then I think the clean wool then goes to the mill to be spun and dyed and made into knitting wool.
And there's still plenty of people doing that because, like, the average farmer, sheep farmer, is now steering towards the mutton meat side of it. They're almost ignoring the fleece, aren't they? Because it's just not
viable for them.
It is. That's right.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And I think a lot of sheep farmers have converted to dairy because there's more demand for the milk products than there is for wool. So it is going to be a very interesting time now that there are still quite a few people knitting. And as I said earlier, I think the current situation in the world means there's opportunities and people are going to be having to look within New Zealand. And there are people selling knitwear, but sadly at the moment they're selling it far too cheaply.
Nothing
near like the heyday of the 1980s where, you know, $500 was the expected price you'd pay for a jersey if you didn't knit it yourself.
Exactly, yes.
You know, you try getting $250 for a jumper now that's hand-knitted and has taken 80 to 100 hours, you're struggling. People don't want to pay that. They don't realise how much that, even though the wool is cheap, it takes a long time.
It takes
a week of, say, 80 to 100 hours of, from the moment you open your eyes till the moment you close them at night, doing that every day.
Exactly.
We're not even getting like a dollar an hour for the labour of what we do.
Oh, I can imagine that. I know. But I suppose the main thing is you actually enjoy knitting, don't you?
I always have.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, we're kind of driven on that.
That's great. I believe, what was your most expensive garment? I think you said there was one that, there was a special wool or something.
I was living in Melbourne in the late 80s and I had this yarn on lay-by in Myer. When the department stores had a wool department.
Mm-hmm.
This yarn was French. The brand was Annie Blatt, which is still around.
Okay.
But it was about $30 a ball Australian.
So what was so great about it? Was it just like a merino or something like that?
Oh, no. It was like a mohair and it had a lurex that was carefully woven with multi-colours into it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a high-end luxury and their Angora yarn was just this tiny little 20-gram poof that was like $40 a ball.
Right.
And you just don't get... you don't get Angora like that at all.
No.
And vintage Angora is expensive. This thing would have cost me, well over 300 Australian to make.
God grief.
And that was just a jersey. I've made dresses cheaper than that.
Yes, I can imagine.
You very occasionally see any black 80s jumpers on Etsy or eBay, and they're just beautiful. There's nothing like them around anymore. Yeah,
and they're long-lasting.
But it's not that great. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they last.
Yeah, hand-knits do. They will last.
Well, I know. My mother used to knit and... At one stage she knitted, I've got two sisters, all of us a frock. And we had those frocks, they were handed down. They were just gorgeous.
Yes.
Now, where do you get your patterns from, Denise? Because you do a lot for the Art Deco Society, don't you? And wouldn't it be hard to get those patterns today?
No, actually. It's completely brilliant. When I started doing the 1930s knits back in 2017 because I needed an outfit for Art Deco and I just didn't have the money to buy one. I thought, I wonder if they knitted them back in the day. Well, of course they did. It was the Depression. And online there are heaps of patterns you can download for free.
Oh, really?
Etsy. Oh, yeah. You can buy a digital download off Etsy for about $3, which is fabulous.
That's great.
People give them to me. I've got so many. I've got more than I can ever make in a lifetime, and that's if I can keep myself in only the 1930s.
Right.
I've got so many. But, yeah, they're still around. You can find them in op shops too.
Yes, I suppose so, yes. Mm. But I didn't realise they were all online like that. That's fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Yep, and Serda, which is an old English brand, at the end of next month, they're going to release all their back issues online for free. So we're all hanging out to see what's coming out of that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people knitting vintage. As I say, a lot more than just me.
Yeah.
We are quite a small group, but more people than I think. And I think the popularity is growing because they're just so beautiful.
Well, people are so fed up with synthetics, you know, and what it's done to the environment and all that sort of thing, that I think there'll be a big, you know, surge back to, natural products, of course.
Oh, I really hope so, because, you know, there are jobs in New Zealand hanging on that. There's opportunities, you know, for growth if people are prepared to pay a little bit more to own a little bit less, just like they did back in the day. So there is some hope out there, but it's going to take a lot of
work. It'll take a while, I suppose. Yeah.
It will. We don't have the people who used to promote wool, like the New Zealand Wool Board.
No.
sponsored prizes in the wool section of the Benson and Hedges Fashion
Awards. That's right. Mm.
Because we don't have the Benson and Hedges Fashion Awards anymore that were a great showcase for brilliant creations of New Zealand wool. We just don't have that anymore.
That's a shame, actually. So are the New Zealand Wool Board trying to do something about, you know, a revival? Or
well, they don't exist anymore.
Oh, don't they? I didn't know that.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they're very long gone. There are some organisations like the New Zealand Campaign for Wool.
Yes.
Prince Charles is the patron of that.
I was just going to say that. He has a great interest in wool, doesn't he? And has formed a special organisation. Yes. I'm promoting it.
But there's just not enough, and I just don't know how they're going to get the word out. I mean, we have World Knit and Public Day coming up, where you'll see people knitting in cafes and libraries and bookshops.
Oh, great.
Wool shops.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not enough. We need more people to take it up. We need people who haven't done it for years to actually pick it up again, because you know, there is a lot of misinformation out there that it's expensive, and it's like, no, it doesn't have to be. You just have to be looking around to find affordable yarn and get back into it, really, and teach more people to do it.
Do you think COVID a few more people sort of knitted, or a bit of a revival there under those sort of circumstances?
Yeah, they did. I've got a friend who owns a wool shop in Onikawa, and she's had more people coming in because they got so bored in lockdown that 5 weeks that they went, I really need to have some knitting in case it happens again.
Oh, God.
Some of us already have big enough stashes that we could lock down for 2 years and not run out of wool.
Yeah.
So we've got that sorted. But, yeah, some people have, and I think some people are looking more towards sustainability because, you know, you can't keep throwing clothes in the landfill.
That's exactly right. Shops,
they're full of stuff.
Yeah.
And they're bulging at the seams because we make too much and we throw away too much.
We do. Exactly. Now
you get bored of your jersey, you can just pull it undone and knit something else with it.
I was just going to say that. I know there's somebody I was talking to recently said that a lady they know is going around the, you know, second-hand shops and getting old jerseys, undoing them and knitting all sorts of things for charity.
Exactly, and that's the whole point of wool. You know, it does last that long that you can do that with it. It can last you a lifetime.
Oh,
somebody
sure.
Can, you know, inherit granddad's jersey and it can go for another 50 years because wool is that sustainable and long lasting.
Sustainable. No, it's fantastic. Now, you sort of knit in particular, you've got something going on with the Art Deco Society there. Why sort of Art Deco? I know Napier is like an Art Deco centre.
That's pretty much it, really. I live here, and you can't get away from it, really, unless you leave town twice a year when it's on.
Right.
Because it's that big here that even schools and businesses always dress up on the Friday. Mm. And, of course, we do have the winter one too.
Yep.
I bought an Art Deco flat in the Art Deco suburb in 2005.
Oh, great.
And I started, that's pretty much what did it. And then I started researching Art Deco, and then I saw the clothes. And I've always been very girly.
Yes.
I've always loved dresses as opposed to trousers, things like that. And I looked at the clothes and I went, oh, wow, that's so my cup of Dilmah that I loved it. And then I wanted the clothes. But as I said earlier, I couldn't afford them, and I wondered if they knitted them. And I found to my great delight that, yes, they did. And the way I can afford to have a lot of the clothes that I do, but I had to knit them.
Right.
And then through my knitting, the very first time I entered the fashion competition in 2017, I was waiting to go in on, you know, down the runway.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman behind me asked me about my outfit, and we were chatting away, and I said, yes, I had made it myself. Mm-hmm. Did you make yours? I asked her, and she said, oh, yes, I did. I have this online shop.
Right.
And I said, oh, can I have your business card then? I'd love to have a look. And she put her card in my hand and my jaw just dropped open. And I went, oh, my God, are you from around here? And she says, oh, no, but my husband's family is and we don't know much about it. Well, the reason I asked her is that we had the same surname and it's terribly common.
Right.
Yeah. And So we emailed back and forth after the Art Deco weekend, and she seemed like a fabulous person.
Uh-huh.
And I said to her, oh, would you like to come down for lunch at my place when you come down for the summer deco? Oh, yeah, we'd do that. And a week before summer deco, her husband, Alan, emailed me, and he said, my grandfather was William Thomas Gore.
Oh.
I said, it had to be. I says, because of all the siblings, only his grandfather and my grandfather had offspring.
Right.
So, she's actually married to my second cousin, and they're from Auckland.
Well, that's great. Now,
it was a complete fluke. If she hadn't come up and talked to me, and if I'd have stayed home with the cold I had at that day, we never would have met. And she's my first inspiration.
Now, I'm going to interrupt you. Yeah, I'm going to interrupt you. That's a great story. Because what I would like to do is, you know, I believe you have a profile on Facebook and Instagram. Would you like to tell the listeners just how they can, you know, find you on Facebook and on Instagram?
Yeah, it's Facebook, Instagram and Etsy, which is E-T-S-Y, which is an online shop.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Maiden Mariwa.
Can you spell that? M-A-I-D-E-N,
and then the suburb where I live, Mariwa, M-A-R-E-W-A.
Okay. Well, that's good because I think people listening to you today, you know, would like to go and find you on Facebook and Instagram and find out, you know, because you actually have photos on there of your garments, do you? Or?
Oh, I certainly do.
Great.
Yep, especially all the ones from a 2018 fashion show we had at Napier, the maroon two-ply evening gown.
Mm-hmm. That, wow, that sounds fabulous.
I knitted an evening gown, and I've actually put my knitting down to talk to you today, which I'm actually knitting another one.
Gosh, you're a real goer.
I am. I like a challenge.
Well, look, Denise, that's great. And unfortunately, we're running out of time because just have half an hour, but and I've got to fit some other things in. But it's been so interesting talking to you today, and I'm sure our listeners would have really enjoyed it. Thank you, listeners, for being with us today, and I hope you enjoyed us talking to Denise on knitting. Now, I would like to end the program with The Knitting Song by Liz Simcock.
as you go, then turn and start another road. If you enjoyed our program today, listen every second Wednesday of the month at 2:10 p.m. or download us anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/DecoRetro. And we would like to thank our sponsors, Club Modern, Art Deco Society, Auckland. We will keep you informed of all future exciting and glamorous events to be held by Club Modern. For more information, email judith.moore650@gmail.com. That's judith.moore650@gmail.com. Bye for now.
Yo traigo para ti algo excitante, mi jarabe te levanta de la tumba, es un jaleo pa' que siempre estés adelante, un poquito de mela, sazón y rumba, es un pasito que te voy a enseñar, un menesto que sé que te gustará, y cuando aprendas a bailarlo con sabor, te aseguro que este ritmo gozará. Y que se puede vacilar.